Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good Friday morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Gotten through another week, at least midweek, praise the Lord. And hopefully we can enjoy the weekend, nice weather, hopefully. I know some other areas are experiencing some bad weather, so we got to pray for those. And keep everybody in prayer as we keep diligent about our social distancing or physical distancing and do our social interaction otherwise. But thank you again for taking the time out. One of the entities that is in need right now that is usually the one that helps others in need is Second Harvest Food Bank. And I am blessed to have, and please forgive me if I botch up the last name, but I'm pleased to have the president and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank, Dave Krepshow, on with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
How are you?
Staying strong, staying safe. Like you said, keep that social distancing, as unnatural as it feels to do that. But staying strong, and our team is staying strong. So thank goodness.
Thank goodness. And I think social distancing is a misnomer. I think it's physical distancing that we need to do, but to maintain social interaction in other ways. So now, your organization, Second Harvest Food Bank, I'm going to ask you to explain a little bit more about it. I mean, most people know what it's about, but your organization kind of relies on a lot of social interaction to get the job done. And so I know that's probably been a little bit of a issue among others. So can you talk about what it is that Second Harvest Food Bank does and why it is so important right now?
Sure. You know, I like to paint a picture, simple picture for people, that think of an image of a bridge, a huge bridge. And on one side of the bridge, you have all the surplus food that's perfectly edible, you know, that, but for some reason it's unsaleable. A lot of times it's donated to you out of goodwill. And then on the other side of the bridge, you have a population that is in great need. You know, and that population's represented by children. One in four children are going hungry daily in Central Florida. You have senior citizens, and that's a growing population, the baby boomers that are aging out. And in between, you have all these families, and the vast majority of those families are working families. So we're that all the surplus food that would otherwise be wasted, you know, and connecting it to people in need. So that's under what I call blue skies or pre-virus days. I'm using that term a lot more. Pre-virus, this is what the world was like for us. But to give you a snapshot of what that might look like now in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic, is that in pre-virus days, we were distributing a lot of food already. And on average a day, about 100,000 to 150,000, enough food for 100,000 to 150,000 meals a day, pre-virus, which is a huge number. Now, in the past 14 days, we are averaging 260,000 meals a day. It's just surreal. I've never seen anything like it. I've been doing this for 26 years around the country, and I've been through disasters of all kinds. On our website, when people need food, on the home page, there's a find food button, and it connects people with several of our hundreds of partner feeding programs. And pre-virus, we were getting on average about 35 of those online searches a day. And the past 14 days, we're averaging 1,200 a day. And then in addition, people that are calling in, you know, we're averaging 200, 300 calls a day. So it's just uncharted territory, to say the least, for all of us, you know, no matter what you do. But it's just incredible. And we're going to be in this for a while, unfortunately.
So true. So true. Your efforts require a lot of volunteers in terms of receiving donations, whether it's monetary or whether it's goods, in getting those sorted and distributed. How are you managing that and trying to keep everybody safe?
Right. You know, volunteers, we cannot get our work done without volunteers. They're a huge supplement to our staff. And again, during natural disasters, you welcome everybody coming in. Lots of people want to come in. Here, it's very, very different. Lots of volunteer groups have canceled out due to the virus. Thank goodness we have a steady flow, but we've had to accept smaller groups because of the distancing that we have to do. So smaller groups, and when they come in, we have a system of giving them gloves, masks, very thorough orientation on food safety and personal safety while we're working there. And when we put them on a volunteer packing line, we respect that 6-foot distancing from each volunteer. Fortunately, we have a large facility, and we can put volunteers in different areas. So we have a loyal group comes in, and they're doing fantastic work. Thank goodness people still want to reach out. I think a lot of people are just going having cabin fever, want to get out, you know, want to have some control over this or make a contribution to the effort. So, you know, volunteering is one of those wonderful ways. So, you know, that's the way we're handling it. May they continue to come in. That would be tremendous.
On a regular basis, what are your demands in terms of things that you need, and how is that different or has changed in the wake of the battle against the coronavirus?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that question. It's a great one. You know, in pre-virus days, we would say, hey, there's four different ways to be involved, you know, any one of four or combination or whatever. And one was to volunteer, okay, because we need that volunteer time. The second way was to donate food. Third way was to donate money. And a fourth way is just become an advocate, you know, the food insecurity issue that exists in our community and spread the word. So here we are in pandemic time, and we just talked about volunteerism and how that has really changed. Uh-huh. And then from a food donation point of view, from individuals or families, we are not asking for donated product, like food drive product. That might sound very counterintuitive, you know, that just doesn't make sense because we need food. But we're not doing that for a couple of reasons. Is that, you know, we can't guarantee the safety of that food, you know, from a virus point of view. And two, there's a lot of hoarding going on in the grocery stores already. and that has impacted our food supply, and I can talk about why and how that has happened. So we wouldn't want that to happen. But for the larger food companies, food service companies, or restaurants that have had to shut down, that have some items that they can't prepare that they want to donate, that'd be terrific. If there's food manufacturers or wholesalers that have product, we welcome that for sure. So from an advocacy point of view, you know, just keep spreading the word that, you know, we got a real need here, and lots of organizations can really be channels for their generosity. And then the other one, the financial one that I said, financial donations, and a lot of, you know, hear charities asking for financial donations, but the first question they probably pop in their mind is, if I donate to them, how far is that money really going to go? Is it going, most of that going in the pocket of the CEO or, you know, a couple of people, or is it really going to help people in need? And it's a very legitimate question to ask. So what we can say, and we have our financial information on our website, we're totally transparent in our revenues, our expenses, and where it goes, how it's spent. And every year we're audited financially by an outside auditor, third party. And year in and year out, they give us a bunch of numbers they review, but there's a couple of things that they share with us that are worth mentioning. They give us an efficiency ratio as an organization, and we have a 97% efficiency ratio, which means that 97 cents of every dollar is going to help people. So that's critical. Another way to look at our efficiency is that for every dollar donated to Second Harvest, we distribute enough food that would be equivalent to $9 worth of groceries. So at this point, financial donations are just so important to us because basically doubled our daily distribution. We have doubled it. So what that equates into is a lot of additional expenses. You know, we have to keep our trucks running and keep the fuel in them, and there's driver overtime. You know, there's added food costs. There's just a variety of things that cost more to respond in a major way. So maybe that was too long of an answer, but
no.
Listening
no.
to that.
No, it's
so
important that people understand.
Yeah.
So it's an awkward time right now, and I was wondering, have you had any entities that you usually assist say, well, we don't, you know, we're kind of concerned. We don't want anything from you all right now until we find out, you know, what the extent is of the transmission of this disease. I'm sure there's some people that are a little jittery. I was just curious.
There are. You know, we serve typically 550 different feeding partners in the Central Florida area, in the six-county
mm-hmm.
area. During this pandemic in the 2 weeks, 85 of those partners have shut down. And some of it's due to the, yes, being jittery about what's the real effect of this. They don't want to be out in the public. And a lot of those partner feeding programs are heavily volunteer-driven, and, you know, volunteers are waning. And a lot of those volunteers are senior citizens. So they're in the high-risk group to be
exactly.
infected. So,
yeah,
that's a phenomenon that we have not seen. We suspect that when this storm passes, on the other side of it, some of those will come back online, hopefully.
Hopefully. And people don't realize how important our seniors are when it comes to volunteering, because they will jump right in, and when you ask normally and without hesitation most times, and they're a valuable resource in the fact that they're having to definitely do a lot of sheltering in place right now is you know, really critical to what happens in terms of what happens to all of our nonprofits, you know, even yours. So,
right. You know, with seniors, uh-huh. especially social isolation, is just really, really tough. And
yeah.
the more social experiences can be shared that they can experience just for mental health reasons, it's gigantic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because that is a primary way that most of our seniors do socialize is not necessarily going to someone's house or, you know, spending a lot of time on the phone. It's a matter of getting out and getting involved in some way, shape, or form. We are going to take a quick break. We are here with President and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank, Dave Krepshow. This is G's Power Hour. If you have questions or on how you can get involved, how you can help, or just wanting more information in terms of how this organization runs, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Chill out jazz. Are you chilling?
Good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Beautiful Friday out there. Go outside, take a look, run in place maybe. You know, don't go too far, but and enjoy the weather while we have it. Beautiful spring day here. And we are here with Dave Krepshow, who is the president and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank. And I wanted to ask you for a minute about the people that you come in contact with on a regular basis. Have you had any of them affected by the coronavirus?
We've had, you know, for the staff or the people that we are serving, we're mm-hmm. not aware of anybody in particular that's being served that has it. Okay.
Good.
You know, from a staffing point of view, we've had a couple of family situations that were close calls. We, you know, one of our staff members is just very unfortunate. Her father lives in Boston, and last week he passed away, due to the virus, but you know, there's that whole thing of, you know, how do you do funerals? You know, you really
right.
cannot gather with family. It's just, I just can't imagine, you know. But fortunately, you know, on the positive side, our staff stays strong. And, yeah, we haven't, to our knowledge, crossed paths with anybody who has the virus. But we've been taking a lot of precautions, you know, about half of our staff is working remotely from their homes. Some people can do that, you know. But our operations staff, you know, they have to be there day in and day out. The truck drivers, the forklift operators, the inventory people, all those folks. So, yeah, we're just using good safety practices to keep as healthy as possible.
Well, good. God bless. And yeah, people don't realize how people are starting to understand the how important our truck drivers are right now in terms of getting goods grocery stores and not just that, you know, back and forth between you and the entities that you serve. And I think actually your group serves my church, St. Andrew Catholic Church. In terms of our Sunday table. So so let me ask you this. What is it that people can do right now to help remotely? I mean, you say you are still taking volunteers, but it's spread out. Are you, for example, because you're having to spread out people so much, are you expanding shifts or anything like that? Can people still volunteer physically in some way while social distancing?
Yeah, we talked about additional shifts, but we are, you know, we are accepting volunteers Tuesday through Saturdays, but we are not expanding for a couple of reasons. It's just a space point of view, or yes, you'd have to go to a second shift, right, or even a third shift, that kind of deal. When we have volunteers in, we want it to be the most productive experience possible. So we have some staff that work directly with them. And we need to stay strong. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So
right.
If we were to add a second shift, that means, you know, people are then working 80 hours a week. You know, our volunteer team, our volunteer management team isn't that, or support team isn't that deep. So,
okay.
You know, I have a, you know, first and foremost, I have a concern for the health and the safety of my staff. And we have to stay strong. So we figure this is going to be a marathon, and we can be productive, you know, during the 8-hour shift for volunteers. And should it come, you know, to be just an absolutely overwhelming issue that we need to pack boxes, you know, more quickly, we may have to turn to that. We're just going to have to be more creative in how we do that, you know, without burning ourselves out. Yep.
Right, because we don't want that, because that lowers resistance and, you know, compromises immune systems and makes more people susceptible to anything, you know. So I understand that. Tell me a little bit about your fundraising. I mean, I know you have donations, but you also usually do a variety of just large fundraisers, and I know that's probably been curtailed.
Yeah, one of the sources of our revenue are fundraising events. And, for example, just this past week, we had the annual one scheduled, and it's called Wine, Women, and Shoes.
And wow.
We were, yeah. Do I have to say any more about that event? So
it works for me.
So, yeah. So we had been having that at the Ritz-Carlton, and we were going to move it to the J.W. Marriott this year. And what it is, you know, 400 to 500 women attend this event, and there's wine sampling, there's the shoes, there's, you know, sellers of different shoe companies, and just beautiful stuff to look at, accessories, all that. And then there's a silent auction and a live auction that goes on. And there's you know, some corporate sponsorships. So with that event this year, we counted on that for $150,000. It's a wonderful event. Obviously, we had to cancel it, but we are going to be doing it virtually. Try to imagine that.
Yeah.
We're doing it virtually in a more simpler way. People can still participate on the auctions virtually with technology now, you know.
Right.
And we can provide certain messaging about the mission and everything that way. So that is about to occur. We don't know the results of it. We will salvage some of that expected $150,000. I got to say that the corporate sponsors of that event on the whole have been really terrific. Okay. You know, we'd call them and say, hey, you know, this is what's going on. The live event's not going to happen. And almost all of them said, listen, we understand, you know, we want to maintain our sponsorship to this. And, you know, so you have the revenue. So that's been fabulous.
And I didn't realize it. That is that next week? Is that going to occur next week?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's great. So yeah, I'm going
on our website.
Yeah.
If you want to participate, just check it out.
Okay, and I'm going to make sure that the information gets on the G's Power Hour Facebook page as well. So that's a good way to try to do something in the midst of all of this, because we know everybody's trying to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, though, I know it's going to be hard for some people who would normally jump on this because of, you know, either being laid off or furloughed or fired or whatever, that they're probably going to be on the other side of this time around in need of your services. So for those who can, it's very important that you make a contribution to this event, or just make a contribution in general. And those who can't, you know, and if you need, don't be too proud, you know, reach out.
Mm-hmm.
You can always pay it back later or pay it forward later, you know, so.
Exactly. I was talking to one of our staff members who's on the receiving end of people calling in, you know, and she was sharing with me that there's a fair number of people that have that embarrassment. They feel awkward asking for help. They never have had to before. And,
right.
You know, it's like, hey, this is a temporary thing. It's not, you know, it's not their fault. They didn't make a wrong decision, you know. And it's time to let the community hold you up, you know, in a tough time. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that are in that situation.
So, do you have all of the items that you need for the auction? Are you still taking donations for the auction?
Oh no, that's set. We're in good shape there. You know, an even easier way for people to get involved from a financial point of view. Once they get to our website, and if you just do a online search for Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida, on our website, there's something that we launched called a virtual food drive. You ever think you'd see the day that we would do that? And it's perfect for these times, because a lot of people, you know, they like to do these food drives. Well, the virtual food drive, it leads you to a part of our website. And you make a financial donation right there, and it shows you how much food will be distributed based on the amount of your donation. So you can do that real easy, clean, you know, any amount of donation you want. And we even have some groups that get teams together, you know, and they set a goal with the team, you know, and hey, let's do this in the next week. And then there, you know, it can even get bigger than that, but maybe within companies, different departments are having competitions against each other. And you can see on our website on that section, it keeps score, you know, so people can have a little fun with it as well.
So I have another question I want to ask you, but I'm going to wait until after our break. If you have questions, this is Second Harvest Food Bank that we're speaking with Dave Krepshaw, who is the president and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank. If you have questions about how you can help or how you can get help, call and talk to him right now. The number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
A wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720, Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon, beautiful Friday afternoon here in Central Florida. Everybody, please stay safe, be well. This is Dee's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are speaking with Dave Krepcher, who's the president and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank. And we're talking about ways that we can help them and that they can help us. And one of the ways that you usually do, and I wanted to find out the status of it, is you have cooking classes. I found out about that when I was doing a tour there. And I wanted to find out more about these cooking classes, if they're still available right now, and how they help. I mean, these are classes that are they're just not your typical cooking classes. These are classes that are launching people's careers.
Right. We started this about 5.5 years ago because there's just so much talent out there and people are looking for an opportunity for some training and some assistance to get a job, a decent paying job. So what we do is we have this culinary training and job placement program, and we have about 15 students to a class. It's a 16-week curriculum. There's no cost to the students. And we bring them in. It's 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And we have a couple of professional chefs on staff that work directly with them. And they learn everything from knife skills to making soups and sauces, you name it. And then during that time, we also have a parallel track of life skill training. So it's things like household budgeting, opening up bank accounts, how do you work as a member of a team in a high-pressure kitchen, you know, when you get a job. And that goes a long, long way with folks because they're a different set of skills than just the culinary training. And then upon graduation, we place them into jobs. So we have graduated 320 students, and we have 100% job placement rate. And they're starting at decent wages, and lots of them are getting promotions. Some have even started up their own little food companies. So it's a way that they now can put food on the table for their family, you know, through a job. And just so many success stories of people's, you know, individuals' lives being changed, but also, you know, the families that are around them, that surround them being changed. So it's worked so well. You know, the employers in Central Florida, like Disney and Universal and Darden and, you know, all the independent restaurants that are out there, they've been terrific in hiring our students. They have a real need for that. So there's a lot of people who want that opportunity, and there's a lot of companies out there ready to hire. Now, I'll put a stop to that. With
right.
This pandemic, we have had to, you know, temporarily shut down that program due to job placements not being available. And
right.
There are food service workers who are now out of work. And we're recruiting some of them to help us out in that kitchen. And we have a production kitchen that's separate from our training kitchen. So the production kitchen, we produce finished meals actually for distribution. So the culinary training thing has worked really, really well. And pre-virus, we were talking to Valencia College, who has a culinary training program, and thinking about how do we collaborate, you know, work together. And we were looking at maybe opening up this opportunity in Osceola County at Valencia. But again, the pandemic and all that kind of puts that on a temporary hold. The other thing that we're starting to gear up on is a distribution center training program because we run a 100,000-square-foot facility. So it's the same kind of model, but the students have a different curriculum. So they're learning inventory control, materials handling, food safety, forklift certification. So those folks are learning that along with the life skills, and we then place them into jobs into distribution centers in Central Florida. So it's a great way in our mission to help people, you know, that are looking for those opportunities, and providing a very warm and user-friendly environment to do that, you know. So it's really wonderful to see some of the students, come back to help out. And some of the graduates pop in, and I'll just share one real quick story. It happened a few months ago. This one young lady, we had placed her about a year ago at the Orlando World Marriott Center, and she popped in and said, "How's it going?" She had the biggest smile on her face. She goes, "It's going terrific, you know. I got a promotion, you know. I'm holding my own, and here's the really cool news. I got my first income tax return, you know." And we said, "Fantastic!" And then she looked at us and said, "I want to donate it to Second Harvest Food Bank."
Oh, wow.
Man.
Oh,
so
wow.
These people are so grateful for the opportunity to get back on their feet. You know, we need to feed people day by day to get through the day, the kids, the senior citizens, those single moms who are working so hard. We need to do that, and we call that like feeding the line of people. But through this culinary training program, we call it shortening the line kind of work, that you go further upstream to where are the issues. And so many times it's income and job related. So if we can also in our mission shorten that line of people who need food, we're going to get closer to filling this gap that exists. You know, so it's been beautiful. It's just so rich with stories. You should see the graduation ceremonies that we have. You know, friends and family of the graduates are invited in, and we usually have a keynote speaker, and there's never a dry eye, and tears of joy in there that, wow, kids are so proud of their parent, you know, that's gotten a job, or it's a spouse, you know, or a significant other. It is really, really cool stuff.
So, If pre and hopefully post COVID-19 management, I guess you could say, how would someone qualify to be a part of one of these programs to participate?
Right. So, you know, we can't accept everybody. We have to keep the class, so I said, like 15. So it's manageable, and that we can provide the real quality hands-on instruction, right? So it's not a mass of people. So we, if people are interested, they can either call in and ask for Idalia Nunez. She is our staff member that's responsible for recruitment and orientation. And even on our website, if you go to our website, there is a community kitchen area, and you can inquire or your interest there. So what she does, you know, about quarterly, we start new classes, and she reviews the people that are requesting to get into the program, and she's got a set of criteria to, you know, to kind of vet the people out. You know, we want to make sure that people are definitely interested in this, that they realize a bit about the food service business. You know, if you want to become a chef, I have to say chefs have to have some of the strongest work ethics. You're on your feet, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day. You're working in a kitchen with fire and knives and chaos, and you're trying to put out the best possible meal you can to satisfy a guest. But she has a series. She has a series of questions that she asks these folks, and then there's personal interviews. Kind of like a job interview, and the job interview is part of our training. We do mock job interviews, so we bring in executive chefs or restaurant managers, and they do a mock interview. And they said, "Hey, you're only going to have so many minutes with somebody who's, you know, considering hiring you, and here are the kinds of questions that they're going to ask, and here's kind of what they're going to be looking at beyond the questions is maybe your attitude, your body language, all those things that can speak volumes, you know." So it's, yeah, so people can inquire and, you know, go through the kind of the recruitment process.
I was curious also, too, is there an opportunity to explore different, I would say, categories or whatever, like pastry chef or sous chef, mm-hmm. or any of those type, anything like that? Or is it, how does the certification work in terms of trying to secure a job with someone?
Right.
Does that qualify you more, I guess, in terms of being able to secure a job? Is it like, I guess, what you would receive from a regular culinary school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every student gets a ServSafe certification that's acknowledged by the restaurant industry.
Okay.
And they also receive an additional certification that is recognized by the Central Florida Lodging, Hotel and Lodging Association.
Okay.
And that is recognized in the industry. And then everybody who graduates, we have an agreement with Valencia, that should they want to go on to Valencia to get more specialized culinary training, that they
mm-hmm.
have already earned a certain number of credits towards that education because they're graduating
Good.
Out of our program. So we do not have separate specified tracks for sous chefs or bakery. Those are things that we continue to look at. As our program
okay.
grows and matures, that perhaps there's a day that we can do that. But they are exposed to those areas by, you know, our professional chefs that have been in the industry for 20 to 30 years. So they get bits and pieces of that. And then from time to time, we have guest chefs come in that may have a specialty and help people, you know, or maybe a baker comes in and they talk about bakery. We had one of our students, this was when the hurricane hit Puerto Rico, and we brought several folks that came over to Central Florida to get away from that disaster, and they went through our program. And one of the ladies had a penchant for baking, and so we exposed her to that, worked with her, and there was a statewide competition at the convention center, and one of the categories was wedding cakes. Okay, and
oh, yeah.
our student won the top award for a wedding cake. It's just really cool.
Wonderful. So we're gonna take our final break, and I know I've asked you a variety of questions, but I'm sure there's other information that you really want to get out. So we're gonna let you kind of take it when we come back. We are here with Dave Krepshow, who is the president and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank. This is the Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment. If you have questions for Mr. Krepshow, the number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
New Swiffer Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer, clean better or your money back, guaranteed.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dimp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
You know, gee, your voice is broken up so much, I can't understand what you're saying, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Wanted to know what you want people to know about what buyer need is.
What we want people to know? I think that's what you said.
Yes.
You know, what I would say is, first and foremost, take care of yourself. Self-care. Stay safe. Be safe. If you are able, consider just maybe helping a neighbor in need. That can go a long way. If everybody did that, so much would be accomplished. There might be other charitable organizations that you're aware of. And if you're to get out and volunteer and also at the same time, acknowledge that social distancing that we have to do. Or if you're in a position really to make a financial donation to an organization, there's many fine nonprofits around town to do so. And I'd say the final thing, and maybe the most important thing that everybody can do, is that just to pray for our leadership at every level of government, to pray for those people that are in a tougher situation, and to pray for our healthcare workers, our first responders. There's so much power in that.
For sure, we definitely want to.
Can't understand what you're saying. Unfortunately, the connection is really, really bad.
Okay, I'm not sure what's going on, but anyway, before we go, can you give information in terms of how people can reach out and contact Second Harvest Food Bank?
If you have access to the internet, you can. Just Google Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida, or our website is www.feedhopenow.org, or call our main number at 407-295-1066.
Okay. Thank you so much. Because of the technical difficulties, not sure what's going on right now, but we're going to give everybody a break and let them go and get on with their Friday and give you a chance to get on and to do the wonderful things that you do. But thank you so much for taking the time, and have a very blessed day, Mr. Krepshow.
Okay. Happy Easter, everybody. Stay safe.
Happy Easter.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you all for listening. Have a blessed Easter weekend.
Give up the highest place. Give up the highest place. Come on, baby. Give up the highest place. Come on, baby. Get up on your feet and